June 10th, 2010.
Turning to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter 5 verses 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And here's what we want to consider. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Let's look to the Lord once again in prayer. Father, we come to you today knowing these things, having been taught these things over many years, perhaps, having taught these things many times. But we come to you today with our needs afresh, with our circumstances different, changes in our lives, changes all around us. We come and we ask for your help, that you would speak your word afresh to our hearts, that we would receive that portion that we need this morning, that we might glorify you and that you might exalt us when the time is right. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The word clothe, clothe with humility. Clothe is to engirdle oneself for, that is, for labor. Figuratively, it's the apron as a being a badge of servitude to wear in token of mutual deference. We are to be clothed with humility. When a servant wasn't always the best dressed person, when I go to work, I don't wear my best clothes most of the time, and if I do, they're not my best clothes anymore. But and my wife will vouch for that. She says, "You're not going to wear that, are you?" I'm like, "Yeah." She said, "Because it's something I bought to work in, but it'll be ruined." I said, "Yeah, but well, I tried to promise her it won't, but by the end of the day, it is." But to be clothed with humility. That's the attitude that God wants in our lives, as one of a servant who is humble and is surrounded by humility. Their humility is what defines their life. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, I'm just going to read this quickly, has to do with Israel. In Deuteronomy 8:1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And why was it? To humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, and whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Israel went through a time of rebellion. They didn't believe God. God had promised them a land, and they looked at the obstacles, the hindrances, the things that they thought would keep them from entering into what God had for them. Now, God had promised them the land. He had spoke to them to go into the land, but that was not enough. They sent out the spies, two brought back the good report, "We are well able," but the other 10 looked at the giants, looked at the obstacles, and did not believe God. They believed what they saw more than what they heard from God. And it's a dangerous thing. So they went through a time of 40 years, and in that time, God humbled them and proved thee, and he learned what was in their hearts, whether they would keep the commandments or not. When I think of humility, I want to first of all talk about some examples for us. First of all, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark, the 10th chapter, and we'll turn there to the 42nd verse, Mark 10, 42, and we'll read down through verse 45. Mark 10, verse 42. Mark 10, verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and the great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. When I read this, I skip over that word not. And that's a dangerous one. I think many people do that. Today, it shall not be among you. This is the way the world does things. You are not to do it this way. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of everything. If anybody had a right to be served or ministered to, it would certainly have been him. He left heaven to come to earth for our sakes. He left all that he had to die on a cruel cross. He deserved that in our eyes. But he didn't take that attitude. He was the minister of all. And certainly he was, gave the greatest sacrifice and ministered to us like no one else could have done. For he gave his life a ransom for many. In Philippians 2, verses 1 through 10, Paul gives this instruction concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and he calls on us to take this mindset. I believe it's four times you'll see the word mind or like-minded, lowliness of mind, used in these verses. Philippians 2, beginning with verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Brings joy. It would bring joy to the heart of the Apostle Paul for the saints to be like-minded. Again, as I said last night, it's not that everybody thought like Paul or behaved like Paul or had the same mannerisms as Paul, but that they all had the mind of Christ, and they endeavored to have the mind of Christ. They were seeking the mind of the Lord in all that they do, that they would be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. It's a wonderful thing when people are of one accord. You read in Acts 2, good things happen. It says they were all in one accord and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. We need that today. We need that in our midst. Of one mind. Again, the word mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Boy, that's a hard thing to do. To consider someone else is better than me. We can have pretty high opinions of ourselves at times. No one else may have that opinion of us, but we in our own minds can have such high opinions of ourselves. I used to work with a man and when I lived in Michigan, he always said, I'm a legend in my own mind. And I would agree, yeah, in your own mind, you are a legend. But we can have such high opinions of ourselves. We are not to have that. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, unless they're of a different social level or different education. They're not as educated as us, or they're not as wealthy as us, or it doesn't say any of that. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Have that mindset. Look not every man on his own things. I've been told more than once, Phil, you got to learn to look out for yourself. Well, I know what they're trying to say, but look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Concerned about the well-being of others. And he gives an example here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, something to be grasped after, but made himself of no reputation. You know, I'm a businessman, and reputation is everything. Jesus was the Son of God. He had a reputation. He was a sinless man, spotless. But he took a place of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, clothed with humility, a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Boy, this was a step down. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the most cruel deaths of all. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Again, Jesus humbled himself. And the scripture calls on us to humble ourselves, to be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And for those who will humble themselves, they find something that is far greater than anything we could muster up in ourselves. They find God's grace, and that will lead to our being exalted, as Sister Wanda said, when the time is right. And it's not time just now for us to be exalted. Our time is one of walking with humility, of living a life and a mindset that is humble, that is clothed with humility, and a servant to all. I have people that work for me, and I tell them to do this or that, but I'm always mindful that I'm a servant too. And it's important to always maintain that aspect in our lives. And it's something I believe that we never outgrow the need for this message. And I know I'm talking with people that have learned this, these truths over and over again. And I find that, you know, I think I learned this 20, 30 years ago, but I find myself having to be reminded of these things, though I know them, again and again, to maintain humility in my life, not to become lifted up with pride. Again, things can happen in our lives, and it's always interesting, people that do get lifted up with pride, you look at them and like, why? Why are they so proud about what that or this or that? But it's something we must maintain, is that is a humble spirit before the Lord. Paul's the second example I want to consider for us to follow in Acts 20 and verse 18 through 20. Acts 20 and verse 18 through 20. Acts 20 and verse 18. Acts 20, beginning with verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, at all seasons, the good times and the bad times, the times where the trials have heated up or things have cooled off, at all seasons. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And it is the only way that we can serve the Lord is if we have this mindset that we are humble before Him. Serving the Lord with humility of mind. If we don't have humility, we're not serving the Lord. If we're not walking humbly, we are not serving the Lord. We're serving ourselves or the flesh, or even worse, the devil. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. And that's a part of it. They come. And temptations or trials which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Paul's life was an example, was a book that people could read. He showed them by example, and he taught them publicly. And they did it from house to house. Wherever he was, he behaved in this manner. That was a mindset of humility, and he never allowed himself to get puffed up or become arrogant or think he was something more than what he was. He knew what he was. And he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he maintained this humble attitude, and it's something that we have to maintain. Anything that we have in life, a car, it has to be maintained. A house, it has to be maintained. If we don't do it, well, Brother Richard said one time, if you have a house, take care of it. If you don't, somebody else will. And he said, I've noticed it to be true over time. Our spiritual walk is something that has to be maintained. We can be going along and realize, you know, there's something, I'm becoming a little proud or becoming a little lifted up. And we need to correct that in our lives. And God helps us to do it. The Holy Spirit helps us to do it. He brings things to our mind and to our remembrance. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I've always wanted to be a self-sufficient person. I would love to live in a place where I could grow my own food, produce my own energy, just to be self-sufficient. And those things, maybe they're not so bad in some ways, but we never want it to carry over into the spiritual realm. To be self-sufficient, not to need God, to be kind of lifted up. I can do this on my own. There are a lot of people that feel that way. They can make the changes in their lives themselves. Well, we need God's help in our lives. And it's through the trials and through the difficulties of life that we learn, the wanderings in the wilderness for Israel, that we learn that we are not sufficient of ourselves. To think anything of ourselves, to think more of ourselves than we are, to think higher of ourselves than what we really are. But our dependency and our sufficiency is always of God, and it needs to be that way. God intends for it to be that way. We can't do it on our own. We need to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has made it this way that we would not glory in ourselves, but he would receive all of the glory for what he has done in our lives. And I've said at different times, I'm glad that it's this way. I would hate to spend eternity listening to people boasting at what they had done or bragging how they had been so wise or so good or they were so gracious and they did this and that. the Lord Jesus Christ will get all the credit and the glory in heaven. And it's to be that way now in our lives, to realize that our sufficiency is of God and God alone. The third point that I want to make is humility leads to God's grace. Pride leads us away from God's grace, but humility will lead us to God's grace. Our text is quoted from Proverbs 3 and verses 33 and 34, and of course I'm going to read them now. The Lord's curse, and this is from the NIV, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. How many want God's grace? How many need God's grace? I do. And I realize that more and more. I couldn't make it on my own, and I know that very, very well. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Brother James quotes this also in James 4, verses 6 and 7. I'll give you a moment if you want to. James 4, verses 6 and 7. James 4, 6. But he giveth more grace. There's that song, some sing. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud. They don't want him. They don't realize their need of him. But he giveth grace unto the humble, to those that will submit to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, being humble, we receive God's grace. Submitting to God, we are able, by submitting to God, we are able to resist the devil, and God will cause him to flee from us. We are no match for the devil. We cannot outthink him. We cannot not outmaneuver him. We cannot take him in any kind of a fight ourselves. We need, again, God's hand to help us, God's hand to deliver us. We simply humble ourselves, find God's grace, submit to God, resist the devil, and God will cause him to flee from us. When we need victories in our lives, this is the formula for it, to be humble and submissive, and God will fight the battles for us. Proverbs 16:18, I have a couple, three in Proverbs 3, I think. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, just some thoughts along the line of pride. Pride is the opposite of humility. So often, we have meetings about once a month for the company that I do most of my work for, and our last one, I got 100% on first time completion rate, and I got 100% on customer satisfaction rate, and I walked away feeling pretty good about myself. And then the phone rang. I wasn't proud very long. You see, pride, we can get lifted up, but God, in his wisdom, allows things to happen in our lives to cause us to have a reality check and realize that if we have anything or if we accomplish anything, it's because of his hand at work in our lives. Pride, Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I've experienced it and I've seen it. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit, a fall. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, And it's something with, you know, I used to think, you know, once you've dealt with something, it's over with and you don't have to deal with it again. But I realize, you know, it just keeps coming back around. And the devil uses one thing, and if that doesn't work, he tries another. He doesn't have a real big bag of tricks, but this is one of the things that he uses, is to try to get us to be lifted up with pride. And if he can do that, he's got us right where he wants us. When pride cometh, if we allow it to come, then cometh shame. And I've been there. I know those things. I've experienced those things, and I've seen it also. But with the lowly is wisdom. Pride leads to shame. Humility, lowliness, leads to wisdom. I realize more and more with each passing day that I need wisdom, because I don't have it in myself. I need wisdom just for my everyday responsibilities on a natural level and on a spiritual level. I need wisdom. And I've been reminded, humility leads to wisdom. Pride will lead to shame, but humility leads to wisdom. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Something happened, well, things have been building up with our work situation for a long time, and someone said something the other day, and immediately my pride kicked in, and I wanted to deal with that. But it was too late in the day, and I couldn't break away, and if I could have, I broke away, I would have been at that person's office, and I had a number of things I was going to say, but I didn't have time to do it in my work both. And I'm sure the contention wouldn't have been good. I couldn't have won. Even if I won, I wouldn't have won the war, the battle. I might have won a battle, but I wouldn't have won the war. With the well-advised is wisdom. Wisdom sometimes is knowing when to keep quiet and not say anything. Wisdom sometimes is just committing it to God and asking Him to rule and to overrule in situations. Wisdom is to know the difference, when to speak and when to be quiet. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, this is the verse I've been alluding to all along. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul, again, his testimony and his experience. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle. You see, there is humility. Because I persecuted the church, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. To realize that if we amount to anything spiritually and at all, it is solely and wholly because God has shown grace to us. I am what I am by the grace of God. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Yes, Paul labored to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He labored to keep a proper mindset. But he couldn't even take credit for that. It was the grace of God that was with me. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. And 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12:7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Unless I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If I was only stronger, then I could do more. If I didn't have so many physical limitations, I could do more for God. If this or that. But Paul didn't look at his life that way. He realized what he had to work with and the limitations and the weaknesses, the infirmities that he had were not a hindrance to doing the will of God, but made way for the power of God, because he was not going in his own strength, but he was going in the power of God. It's a humbling way, but it's a good way, and it leads to a full reward. He will exalt us when the time is right. May the Lord bless you.